example in John's Gospel, and this is our third week in John's Gospel. And in the first week, we had a broad overview of the book, and John is very clear that of the purpose of his book is that these things are written, chapter 20, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John doesn't make any secrets, so as we read it, this is the purpose of the book. And then last week we went right back to the beginning, and our John preached about this John the prologue. It's going to be confusing today. We've got our John's Gospel and John the Baptist. So there's a little bit of confusion on the Johns. We started off with this incredible cosmic picture. And remember, John said it was like a trailer to the rest of the book. Everything about the book is going to be in chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. And it's a huge universal sweep. It's like the beginning. It's known as a prologue or a trailer. And all we will see now, again, there's no real surprises as we go through the gospel. Everything that's being said in those first few verses are now going to be shown as we go through the gospel. And so there are no surprises, and yet, of course, there are so many surprises as we go along. And so last week we focused on who Jesus is, what that beginning chapter says about who Jesus is, what he came to do, and how he was received. And it will be helpful to keep those questions in your mind, even as we start going through the gospel together now. Who Jesus is, what he came to do, and how he was received. So we're going to look at that this morning. And we come to, therefore, as this big cosmic sweep has been laid out, the kind of the camera pans down from this huge universal vision to a very clear scene of the ministry of John the Baptist. So I just want to say a few things about John's ministry that comes out from that passage this morning. The first is this. John teaches us, or John says, it's not about me. It's not about me. You should be very clear this morning already, especially if you were here last week, what John's ministry was all about. Why? Because we've already been told in those first 18 verses that our John told us last week. It's very clear. Look with me at verse 7. Or verse 6. There was a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light. Verse 8. John, he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Verse 15. John testifies or witnesses, it's exactly the same word, concerning him. Verse 19. Now this was John's testimony or witness. Verse 34 of our passage today. I have seen and I testify, I witness that this is the Son of God. Witness, witness, testify, witness, testify. What is John's role? He's a witness. Simple, isn't it? He is a witness. John, the writer of John, John's Gospel, the Apostle John, is putting John the Baptist in a kind of a trial and saying, you are the first witness. The first witness is John the Baptist to testify, to give evidence to the questions that we looked at last week. Who is Jesus? What did he come to do? And how he was received. And so John, in like any trial, is brought into the witness stand to give evidence. And our job this morning is to see, is John's evidence valid? Do we believe it? Because if we believe John's evidence, it might have life-changing implications. From that huge sweep at the beginning, in the beginning was the Word, it can seem quite abstract, but John is very clear, the writer of John is very clear as we come to John the Baptist, that this is none other than first-hand eyewitness testimony. We have that all the time. We have testimony that we rely on things to know what's going on. And so John, the writer of John, says John the Baptist was there on the scene. First-hand eyewitness testimony. In fact, as we go to the second half of our chapter, our verse today, look at verse 29. From the prologue which said Jesus was with God in the beginning before time, now we have the next day. This first section of John leading up to the miracle at the wedding of Cana, we'll get there in a few weeks' time. Commentators, you can kind of historically reconstruct that this is the first week of Jesus' ministry leading to the wedding. You can plot the 7 days of Jesus' ministry from the appearance of John the Baptist to the wedding of Cana. So this is historical eyewitness accounts. John is in the dock. He's giving evidence. Now, what is he giving evidence to? We know elsewhere that John the Baptist was quite a colourful figure. He lived in the desert. He ate locusts and wild honey. He was quite a fiery preacher. He did baptisms. And at the time, that time, 2,000 years ago, many people, many Jews especially, were expecting a Messiah, a chosen one to come, and they were looking for all kinds of signs. Who is the chosen one who would come and restore all things, would reconcile all things, would maybe deal with the Romans, under whose occupation they were struggling? And so they were looking for a Messiah. And John comes along, and it's probably quite obvious that they might think, is this the guy? Is this the one? Is he the Messiah? Is he the chosen one? Or if he's not the chosen one, is he someone like the prophet Elijah? Elijah in the Old Testament hadn't died. It was said that he was going to come back. Was John the Baptist Elijah? Or was he another prophet? In other words, was John, or the events surrounding John the Baptist, was this the end of the world? Was this the age that the Jewish, the Israelites were looking forward to? And so they send a kind of a party to go and find out. Verse 19. This was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Christ. John says, I am not the chosen one. It's not about me. Now we know that already, don't we? Because chapter 1, the beginning verses, has told us that. John was not the light, but he was only a witness to the light. It's a funny phrase that we have here in verse 20. Look at the Bibles with me. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Christ. It doesn't quite translate. Literally, the message that John has, the positive message, if people went out to the desert and they were getting ready to hear John, and John comes onto the scene, and he probably looks really fiery. Remember, we know that he didn't cut his hair because he was a Nazarene, and people would, he was like a first century celebrity. And he gets onto the stage, he has a crowd around him, and people are waiting to hear what is his message. And his message is, I am not the Christ. That is his message. He doesn't need to be asked whether he is the Christ or not. His message is, I am not the Christ. I am only a witness. Oh, well, you must be Elijah then. Surely you're Elijah, come back from heaven. No, I'm not Elijah. Are you then just the prophet, someone who we've been looking forward to? No. Well, who are you then, verse 22? And John says, I am just a witness. I am preparing the way. Now, of course, John is a prophet. In fact, we learn elsewhere in the Gospels that John is the greatest of all the prophets. But he's making a point here. He says in verse 23, I am fulfilling the Bible. I am fulfilling God's word. Back in the book of Isaiah, there's a verse that says, make straight the way for the Lord. The idea was that you'd be metaphorically removing obstacles out of the way so that the king could come. And John says, I have fulfilled that verse. My job is to clear away the obstacles so that the Messiah can come, the chosen one can come. So John's message, John's testimony is, I am not Jesus, I am not the Christ. My job is just to prepare the way for him. John says, it's not about me. And he kind of says even more than that. He says, look, compared to the one that I'm preparing the way for, compared to the chosen one, the Messiah, you cannot even compare me. He is the Word become flesh. That's what we looked at last week. Who is John? I am merely a voice of one in the desert. Jesus is the Word. John is just a voice. John says, I am not even worthy to untie his sandals. Now, in those days, if you were a student and you had a teacher, the student would do all the things that even a slave would do, apart from one thing: touch the sandals. And John says, the one who is coming, the one for whom I'm preparing the way, I am not even worthy to touch his feet, the most dirty part of the body. You see what John's trying to do? He's saying, I'm not great, it's not about me, but the one who is coming is great. As we'll learn later on, John says, I must decrease, so he must increase. So we're left in no doubt by the author of the Gospel, John, that John the Baptist is not the Christ. It's not about him. That is his testimony. Is that clear? Have we got that? Good. What does John say? It's about him. Verse 29. The next day. So John, having said, I'm just a witness, I'm just preparing the way, I'm not the real deal. The next day, look who comes along. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. How is he before me? Well, we've learned that in the first few verses of the gospel. He was there from eternity. The Word became flesh. John recognizes now the one that he has been preparing the way for. Now, of course he does in some ways, because he was related to him. Remember, in Luke's gospel, we have how the birth of John the Baptist was, and Elizabeth and Mary and their relationship. But there's a sense, and we'll find out soon, that until God says to John the Baptist, "This is the chosen one," John doesn't know. And now it is revealed to him. So he says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now that's a very funny expression. If you don't know anything about the Old Testament, or you're not Jewish, the Lamb of God? What does that mean? Well, I think it's something like this. That in the Old Testament, the theme or the figure of a lamb has a lot of significance. You might know some of the stories of the Old Testament, maybe you don't, associated with lambs. Abraham and Isaac, God asks Abraham to sacrifice his only son Isaac. And just as Abraham is about to bring down the knife on his son, God says, "Stop, don't kill your son." And they see a lamb in the thicket, and the lamb is sacrificed instead of Abraham's son. Or maybe the Exodus, the Passover lamb, when the Israelites are leaving Egypt and God sends plagues, and Moses keeps on going to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh says, "No, I'm not going to let you go." And then the last kind of sign that happens is that the firstborn of Pharaoh is killed, and the firstborn of the Israelites are not killed. Why? Because the blood of the lamb is smeared all over the doorposts. And then there's the Passover lamb that recognizes every year that event of the Exodus, that a lamb is killed. And then, of course, there's the very famous passage in Isaiah, the suffering servant, someone who will come and take all the sins and rubbish away on his own person. The penalty for our rebellion against the one who created us. So you've got all that history and theology and thinking about the Lamb. And the Lamb also, finally, and we see this in the book of Revelation, the Lamb was a warrior Lamb. The Lamb came to have judgment, not just a weak kind of, but a warrior Lamb. So the next day, John saw Jesus coming and says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John is clearly saying that in Jesus Christ, we have the fulfillment of all of those signs and hopes in the Old Testament are fulfilled in this person who John sees walking along. "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, the writer of the Hebrews tells us this. The writer of the Hebrews says, look, in the Old Testament, when they were sacrificing animals, it was bloody and you had to do it repeatedly. But it's not as if that the real Israelites who really knew what was going on believed that the blood of sin and goats and lambs could take sin away. But it was what it was looking forward to. And so those hundreds and thousands of years of history are kind of all the way come down into that man walking across the street 2,000 years ago. And John says, look, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Not only that, Jesus bears sin, but also we have that section at the end. Interestingly, In John's Gospel, we don't have an account of Jesus' baptism because we're to believe John's testimony that it happened. The man on whom you see the Spirit comes down and remains is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify, this is the Son of God. John's testimony, John the Baptist's testimony, is that he was there when the Holy Spirit in the shape of a dove came down and rested upon Jesus and stayed with him, showing that he was God's anointed. He was the chosen one. And so John says now, I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. John says, I baptize with water. And we know elsewhere in the other Gospels that that signified the need for people to turn around from their sins, turn back to God. But John says, I only baptize with water. Kind of anyone can do that. This man, this Jesus Christ, he baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means nothing less that in this man Jesus Christ, you have the possibility, you have the you recognize that you can be drenched with the very life of God. Now, it's important that we see those two things we've learnt about Jesus together. You can only have the life of God in you if you recognize that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Those two things go together. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world so that we can know God and experience him and have the Holy Spirit in us. That's what it means to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. There are some Christians, of course, who believe that you can accept Jesus as Lord and then you have a kind of a second experience, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Nonsense. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is what being born again means. It means becoming a Christian. That you have that new heart when you were dead. And you have that, as you say, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, do you see why John is playing down his own role? John couldn't take away sin. John could only baptize with water. He can't give the Holy Spirit, and that's why John says, it's not about me, it's about him. So, it's very clear. John says, remember, I'm just a witness, it's not about me, the one who's coming surpasses me in every single way. It's about him, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, that we can be drenched with the life of God. Three things, three applications, three comments and questions as we finish. Firstly, listen. Are you listening to this testimony of John the Baptist? I want to make a claim here. I'm going to show it from the text. If you do not believe John the Baptist's testimony, John's in the dock. If you do not believe John, you do not believe God. Why? Verse 6 of chapter 1. There was a man who was sent from God. John's testimony is from God. We need to listen to John because he has come from God. And as I've already said, that strange verse as we go down, Verse 31, John says, I myself did not know him. Well, that's a bit odd because you're related to him. You grew up with him. What does John mean when he says, I myself did not know him? I think John's saying, there's no natural ability. I didn't know that he was the Son of God. It's not because I'm a brainy person. It's not because I've had a spiritual kind of insight. It's because it's been revealed to me. God has told me I am only a messenger and he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Our ignorance is overcome by listening to this testimony. Now, why is this important? Why is it important that you listen to John? Because I want to make it very clear this morning that you, because you've been sitting here, and if you've listened to anything that I've said and you've engaged with it in any way, you cannot say that you have not heard John's testimony and what he says about Jesus. And if you think that John the Baptist is a credible witness, you will believe what John says when John says, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. If you don't listen to John, you're not listening to God. Second, come. Come to Jesus. This passage is all about John recognizing who he is and who he's not. I am this. I'm not the chosen one. I'm just preparing for the chosen one. I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. These are questions that we need to ask ourselves this morning. You need to recognize kind of the ams and the am nots. And many people here this morning who are Christians, who have put their trust in Jesus Christ, they have recognized that they are not. They cannot save themselves. They cannot know God personally. They can't deal with the guilt that they live with every day for all the wrong things that they've done. They can't do anything without God. They do know, I am, that they are in rebellion, that they need saving, and that they need the Spirit of God. And so, John says, come to Jesus. He is the Lamb of God. If you come to Jesus, your sins will be taken away. You can know forgiveness. And you can be drenched with God's presence. Remember, John the Baptist is not the light. He testifies to the light that gives life. If you come to Jesus this morning, you can have light and life. If you don't come to Jesus, then you stay in darkness and you are dead. You're not neutral. Perhaps you think that you are a Christian. I'd want to ask you this morning, have you believed in that Jesus that we've been talking about this morning? The one who takes away the sin of the world? The one that drenches you in God's Holy Spirit? Is that the Jesus that you know? There's no other real type of Christian. I know it was used in the 80s and 90s and people still use it as a scorn, kind of a mockery. But I'm proud to say that I am a born-again Christian. I was dead and I was made alive. Is that your experience this morning? Can you say, I have been born again? We'll have much more to say on that, especially as we get to this man called Nicodemus in chapter 3. He doesn't quite understand what's going on. So listen to John, come to Jesus, and finally point to Jesus. John the Baptist is someone who kind of models to us our own lives. It's not about me, it's about him, Jesus. And in our lives, we should be people who say, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. We should be presenting, just as John did, we should be clearing obstacles away so that people can get to know Jesus. Now, can you say that about your own life if you're a Christian here this morning? Can you say, my job is to clear away the obstacles in my life so that people can see Jesus through me? I've got a lot of little rocks and a lot of big boulders that need clearing. And so do you. And that's why you should come and do the Real Change course. Our lives are to point to Jesus, not point to ourselves, but point to who Jesus is. So our lives need to be ones that point to Jesus. What are the obstacles that you need to be getting rid of to prepare the way so people can see Jesus? You know what they are. Secondly, in our priorities, we point to Jesus in our priorities. What are the things that John wants us to know about Jesus? John the Baptist wants us to know, and John the writer wants us to know. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and you can know God personally. The very life of God can be in you. They are the things that John wants us to know about Jesus. Not firstly, behold a really nice person who lived 2,000 years ago who told us how to live well. That's not the first thing that John wants us to know about Jesus. He says it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Our priorities are to be the priorities of John. John wanted to point people to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and the one who can baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And they should be our priorities, our words. That's why we want to proclaim this Jesus. That's why the first thing that John says should be the first thing that we want to say. So we point to Jesus in our lives and in our priorities. And there's a challenge here, I think, for John and myself. We want to point to Jesus in the pulpit. Well, not really a pulpit, the stage, but it begins with P. In our preaching. We make no excuses for wanting to point to Jesus. It would be shocking and terrible if you were listening to my preaching or John's preaching and you were focusing on Dan or John. That would be very bad. Because all we want you to do is see Jesus. In that sense, we are preparing the way for you to see him. And so that is why Jesus is at the centre of what we preach and teach at East Finchley Baptist Church. Now, we're in no danger, I think, here of a kind of a celebrity pastoral leadership culture. But that's not always the case. And this is the challenge, I think, for many people and pastors who do come from very big churches, where it would be great if their attitude could be the same as John the Baptist's. It's not about me, it's about him. Pray for John and myself that as we, Lord, please, as the church grows, that we wouldn't be big-headed and start to say, yeah, it's about how John preaches, it's about how I preach. No, it's not about us, it's about him. All of us must decrease so that he can increase. So, we listen to John. We come to Jesus, we point to Jesus. And the twist in the tale, the challenge that you'll see throughout John's gospel is this. It looks at the beginning as if Jesus is almost on trial. And we have the witness of John, and we'll have many other witnesses testifying to who Jesus is. But John's a very clever writer. And time and again, we'll realise that the tables are turned. And we're the ones in the dock. We're the ones who are being questioned by God. And what are you going to say at that point about who Jesus is and whether you've received him or not? Let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this very clear word. It's rammed home to us time and again that John was not the Messiah. That was his message. He was just preparing the way. He was a witness to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is that chosen one who bore our sins away so that we can be drenched with the very life of God, your precious Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, forgive us when we have only pointed to ourselves selfishly and not to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we would listen carefully to John's gospel and this morning to John the Baptist's witness. Lord, take away by your Spirit any obstacles that get in the way of us pointing to who Jesus is. Lord, there may be people this morning who know that they haven't come to Jesus. And Lord, wouldn't it be amazing this morning if they did, if they acknowledged that Jesus is the one who takes away the sin of the world. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.